Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Michigan Golf Podcast. And again, we're back with you guys on a regular basis. Last week, if you had a chance to tune in, awesome. We put out two episodes in two consecutive days, kind of throughout a kind of a welcome back episode. Last week, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, I put out the first of kind of an equipment mini-series that I decided to kind of explore. And so we started with the putter, the flat stick, and I talked through kind of my search for improved putting, what's going to help me make the most putts, kind of some of the things I've tinkered with and the specs and setup that I'm using now. So that was a fun one to record for you guys, and so I kind of wanted to keep that momentum going. It's fall here in West Michigan, so obviously fewer tournaments, fewer events, fewer things of that nature, so I figured we might as well talk equipment. And if I can share some knowledge and experience that I have with various pieces, whether it's a putter or a driver, wedges, whatever it may be, if I can kind of share things with you guys and in my pursuit of improved performance, maybe help you guys kind of improve your performance and your setup and your bag, then that's great. That's kind of what the goal is here with this little bit. But before we do that, let's jump in, grab a quick ad as always, and then when we get back, we're going to the opposite end of the bag. We're going to talk driver. We're going to talk about hitting bombs and everything that goes along with that. So again, stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. Thanks for sticking it out through the ad as always. And while you guys were listening to that ad, I remembered something that I hadn't shared with you guys just yet because it just happened at the end of last week, last Friday actually. But I wanted to share a new partnership that I've kind of put into place for the Michigan Golf Podcast. And this is not a formal advertisement. This podcast is not sponsored by this particular organization, but I want to share it with you guys anyway. So if you follow me on Instagram at gsmithgolf, I've kind of put out a little spoiler last, Saturday morning maybe. But the Michigan Golf Podcast has partnered with Orgain Nutrition. And if you're familiar with Orgain, they are an awesome nutrition supplement company. And so I've been using their products for a long, long time. And this is kind of a great segue into hitting bombs because I'll get to that in a moment. But I've been using Orgain's plant-based protein powder for, I can't even tell you how long. It's been quite a while. And I've always used them and then I'll switch to something else and I'll go back to Orgain and then I'll try something new and then I'll go back to Orgain. And that's where I'm at right now. And I thought, what a great opportunity to leverage kind of what they do and what I do kind of on the side of golf, because fitness and nutrition is a big part of my pursuit of improved performance, not just in golf, but kind of in overall life. And so Orgain kind of puts out some really clean products, organic products. And again, they do protein powders, they do protein bars, they do energy supplements, they do all kinds of stuff. And so again, I just use them for the protein stuff, but you know who else uses them for the protein is, you guessed it, Bryson DeChambeau. So talk about a dude who hits bombs. And my goal for fitness and for golf and for nutrition isn't to do what Bryson did. If you look at Bryson circa December 2019 compared to now, that dude has put on so much mass, so much muscle, and he's added, it's unreal. The ball speeds he's hitting, the distances he's hitting the driver right now. And he is, he's the mad scientist. I mean, he's optimizing everything from health and nutrition to his driver, and he's trying to take the game to another level and explore new possibilities in the game of golf by hitting longer drives. And so we always reference hitting bombs and kind of being the Phil Mickelson joke and the Phil Mickelson adage, but the reality is Bryson's hitting bigger bombs than anybody, and part of what's bulked him up is Orgain. And so I thought, you know what, let's explore kind of a partnership with them. And as a result, we kind of developed it. So if you are familiar with Orgain, awesome. If you're not, I highly encourage you to jump on their website and check it out. They've got a ton of products, ton of options. And it, whether you're looking to kind of better your well-being and your fitness and nutrition for the game of golf, or if you just want to live a healthy, active lifestyle and supplement some of your nutrient needs, Orgain's a great opportunity for you to add something new to your routine, your method, your process. And so when you do jump on their website, if you see something you like, throw it in your cart. And when you get to the checkout, in that little box where it gives you an opportunity to put in a promo code, if you type MIGOLF30, you're going to get 30% off your first order. So just kind of a way for me to, again, take what I do in my personal life and in this podcast and in my golf and share it with you guys. So again, MIGolf30 in the is the promo code for 30% off your first order through Orgain Nutrition. So anyway, take advantage of that. It's pretty cool stuff, and I highly encourage you to check it out. But onward to hitting bombs. Let's talk about the driver. And you guys have been listening. If you've tuned into the podcast for some time now, over the course of this season, you guys know. I mean, I driving ability, I'm in no position to give you guys advice on how to hit straighter drives. I could maybe help you guys hit longer drives. I am capable of that, maybe. I can kind of maybe share a little bit of knowledge on how to kind of gain speed and power, but a lot of that is also natural ability. But I've been on a journey, so I'm just going to share it with you, because I mean, I've been on a journey to improve my driving. There are two aspects in golf that I think you got to, every aspect in golf is improvable, but I know they say drive for show, putt for dough. We already talked about putting, hugely important, but driving is hugely important too. And it's hugely important in my game, because if I can't find fairways, then I can't hit greens in regulation, and then I'm not even going to have birdie putts in the first place. So obviously it's great to make par saves and bogey saves. I hate saying that, but that's the reality of it sometimes. But when I'm hitting driver, I've never been a good driver of the golf ball. Go back to high school, go back to college. Accuracy has never been my strong suit off the tee. And so I've always been on the search for improved driving performance. And long, long time ago, let's talk specs. So when it comes to drivers, there's so much out there. There's so much technology, so many different kind of features that different club manufacturers bring to the game, whether it's Cobra, Titleist, Callaway, Ping, TaylorMade. And so there's a lot that goes into picking the right driver for your game. But then once you have that driver that looks good behind the ball at address, that one that you have confidence swinging and you truly believe is going to help you hit better drives, then you kind of got to dial in specs. If you want to kind of optimize your own personal performance with the big stick, you got to get fitted. And I say that, but there's a couple different ways and a couple different methods to do that. You can go to your local golf shop, wherever you're kind of picking up the driver. If maybe your golf course that you are a member at or play has some club fitting capabilities, maybe not. Otherwise, there's places like Dick's or Golf Galaxy, or over here on the Lakeshore, we've got Maple Hill or Carl's Golf Land. You got tons and tons of options, and there's so much technology to get fit. And when you get fit for a driver, they're going to look at all sorts of metrics, and it's going to be so much data, so much analytics. And again, I have not done this myself. I do a lot of self-fitting. I'll talk about that in a moment, but let's use Paul, for example. Paul, been on the podcast. We've talked about him and his game, and he's shared a little bit of insight as to kind of where he's at. But a couple years ago, I think 2 years ago now, maybe, he went over to our local club fitter and got on the TrackMan. TrackMan technology is huge. They're going to give you so much information. Launch angle, spin rate, dispersion, where you're making contact on the club face. Dynamic loft, dynamic lie. Then the list goes on and on and on. But what's cool is if you go to a kind of a master club fitter and get this TrackMan fitting experience, you're going to have the opportunity to hit all of these drivers. You're going to, especially nowadays with so much adjustability, the way clubs and shafts aren't glued hosels anymore, it's all adjustable and all customizable. So you can show up to this club fitting experience and you can hit Callaway, you can hit TaylorMade, you can hit Ping, you can hit Cleveland, you can hit anything you want. And then on top of that, they're going to have just walls of shafts. They're going to have so many shafts hanging on the walls. So you can try extra stiff, you can try stiff, you can try different bend profiles, different weights, different flex, different anything. There's the possibilities are endless, and it's so much that there's no way that you can essentially do it yourself and truly optimize the driver that you have in your bag. And I say that, and I should just go get fitted, because it's something I've always done myself with my coach, knowing just kind of what I like. And I've always kind of self-fit. So I know what length shaft I like. I know what swing weight I like. I know what bend profile, and I know what to to me. I know what the shaft feels like when it loads and unloads, and I know what's beneficial. I've tried different things, and I've always done it just kind of on my own. And I've done it without the data and the analytics of TrackMan, without kind of knowing what launch angle is, what spin rate is. And I have a pretty good idea based on some simulator experience that I have, but I've never gotten a formal fitting to the point where I can confidently say, hey, my launch angle is this, my spin rate is this, my carry distance is this. A lot of what I do is based on feel. For me, it's what shaft weight feels right, what swing weight feels right, what length feels right. And then once you get the feels dialed in, you take it out, you hit it, and you observe, what's the ball flight doing? It's kind of an old school methodology, but for me, if I can swing a club that feels good in my hands, that I can confidently trust is going to feel good throughout the swing, and then the ball flight produces the results I want, that's kind of where I kind of cap it. And I've always been, again, searching and trying new things. So back in the day, I used to play Titleist, and manufacturers aside, glued head, of course. It took me a long time to move from the glued head to the adjustable hosel. But regardless of that, I used to play always a 44-inch driver up until this year, actually, 2020. So 44 inches was kind of my sweet spot that I settled into because, again, I've always had the speed. I've always had the distance. That's never been an issue for me. And what's been an issue is center face contact and accuracy. So when you kind of look up, I mean, when you try to do research and learn online, you're thinking, all right, how can I improve my dispersion? How can I tighten that up, hit more fairways, hit fewer Ric Flairs, as I've said in previous podcasts, because that's my miss. And how can I dial it in? So you'll see a shorter shaft kind of promotes improved accuracy. You might lose a little bit of distance, might lose a little bit of speed, but if you can tighten that dispersion and hit more fairways, it's going to be worth it, at least to me. So a long time ago, I cut my driver down to 44 inches, and I played this Titleist driver for a long time. Then I had a Nike driver that I also had dialed in at 44 inches, where the swing weight was good, the shaft was good, the length was good, and I was confident in it. And then kind of fast forward a little bit to more recent times when after Nike got out of the equipment manufacturing space, I switched back to Titleist because that's what I knew and loved from the days of old. And immediately I got a Titleist 915 D3. And what's the first thing I did? You bet that I took that grip off and I cut that shaft down to 44 inches. And it was okay, but technology changes, golf clubs change, I change. I mean, shoot, I'm always working on my swing, trying to improve my fundamentals and my mechanics and stuff. So I think over the course of time, the 44-inch driver started not serving me well, and I started to lose kind of confidence and trust in it. And let's kind of talk about specs for a sec. What happens when you shorten a driver? You take an inch off of the driver, you are immediately changing swing weight, you are immediately changing lie angle, and those are two things that significantly impact how you hit the golf ball. So when you're kind of looking to dial stuff in, there's probably three aspects that are going to significantly influence your ball flight, and lie angle is one of them. Length, lie, and loft, I mean, those are all huge, but lie angle is going to dictate where the club face points at impact, and maybe a little left, maybe a little right, it depends, but there's so much that goes into getting properly fit for you. And golf club manufacturers this day and age, they've got it figured out. I mean, they've got so much R&D that goes into developing new equipment and new technology that if a golf club manufacturer, this is kind of what I've embraced over the last year or so, if a manufacturer comes out with, for me, let's hypothetically say the TaylorMade M6. That's what I'm gaming right now with the Mitsubishi Tensei CK white shaft, 70 gram extra stiff. They do the research. They build these club heads. These club heads have a certain weight. They have what they call stock shafts that come in a certain weight, certain length. And all of this is a goal to kind of optimize lie angle and swing weight and performance, overall performance for a majority of golfers. And so I don't recommend you go and just grab a driver off the shelf and expect that it's going to be the best driver for you. You do have to take the time to hit it, whether it's in a simulator, out on the field, like just hit the club, because an off-the-shelf driver, 9 times out of 10, whether it's head, shaft, whatever, it is probably going to have some room for improvement for you as an individual. But with that being said, I think there's something to say about sticking with some of the standard specs. So for me, that's something that I've done. I had the M5 in the bag. Now I have the M6. Either way, I've stuck with the same shaft and the proper shaft length. And it's something that I've kind of adjusted slightly around, because adding that extra, my shaft is 45.5 inches, so a full inch and a half longer than what I normally had played. And I thought, you know what, it feels different. There's a lot that creates some different mechanics with that, but let's try and build on it and improve the club and improve my performance in my way. So for me, a big part of moving from M5 to M6 was kind of limiting the adjustability. I wanted to kind of go back to, I hate to call it the days of old, but the days of old. So back in the glued hosel days, back in the no adjustable weights days, and for me, M5 had too much adjustability. Those movable weights, I mean, they had the, I don't know if it's the T-track, the inverted T-track, I forget what they call it now, but weight slides front to back, and then they've got a back weight that slides heel to toe, and you can kind of move both weights around, put them both in the front, both in the back, both in the heel, both in the toe. I mean, so many possibilities. And so for a guy like me who loves to tinker, as you guys could probably tell, that's dangerous. That's super dangerous. And for a guy like me who's not a very good driver of the golf ball. So I'll go out on any given day. If I drive it poorly, what's the first thing I do? I go to the driving range and I adjust. I adjust the weights in the club head. I adjust the shaft. I adjust this. I adjust that. And at the end of the day, I mean, I'm looking for improved consistency. I want to be a more consistent driver of the golf ball. And in order to do that, you've got to be more consistent in your club. I mean, I can't go out and, if I'm swinging effectively a slightly different club every time I play, how am I going to build any consistency? How's anybody going to do that? And that's why there's so many benefits to getting fitted and dialed in. I'm going to go back to Paul on this one, because he got fitted. He ended up using the Callaway Epic driver, got a shaft that fit his kind of bend profile and what he needed to maximize, optimize launch conditions. So high launch, low spin, and get him in the ball flight that's going to be best suited for him and his game and his consistency. And so Paul is, like, in my opinion, just primo on this, because he got fitted for this and he hasn't touched it since. He hasn't changed the shaft settings. He hasn't changed the weights in his Epic driver. And shoot, last time we talked, I mean, we joked about that, and he didn't even know if he had a wrench, the tool you use to make these adjustments. And I offered to let him borrow mine, but he was smart man. He said, no, I'm good with what I got, man. I like it. And that's what you want. That's kind of the characteristics you want in a guy that goes and gets fitted and it stays committed to his club and is committed to his equipment. So I need to take some kind of notes and take a page out of Paul's playbook and be more committed. So that's what I've kind of done with this M6. I got this M6 driver. I've got the shaft setting the way that I want it, and I haven't changed it since I bought it. So this M6 has been in the bag for me since August, and granted, it's only been a couple of months, and we're approaching winter where the clubs are going to get far less use, but I'm true to it. I'm going to stay committed to it and let it ride. The one thing I did do, although the M6 has no movable weights, I did slap some lead tape on there, kind of another page out of my old school playbook. And I always used to use lead tape back in high school and college. That was my jam. If I wanted to alter the feel of a club, I'd slap lead tape on the head, increase the swing weight, make it feel a little heavier, a little bulkier in my hands. Depending on where you put it, it can change feel, it can change sound quality, it can change a lot of things. You can do a lot with a little bit of lead tape. And trust me, a little bit does go a long, long way. I tend to use quite a bit. But again, that's just me. It's all kind of feel based. You can take lead tape. I used to do this too. And instead of putting it on the head, I'd put it up on the shaft under the grip. Kind of old school way of counterbalancing, counterweight. So you get a lot of shafts now, whether it's Project X hazardous shafts. I mean, some of them are counterbalanced, shoot, Mitsubishi Tensei CK Orange, I think, is the counterbalanced model for what I use. But again, it's all a matter of kind of getting swing weight and the feel dialed in. But what are you guys using? Are you guys using, I mean, there's so many manufacturers out there and everybody kind of preaches different things. And so I'm, again, hashtag Team TaylorMade, self-proclaimed brand ambassador. So I've been repping the M5, the M6. And the reason for that too is, you know, again, when I, if you guys tuned in a while back, I kind of gave you my pouty podcast about last year when I played poorly, why, what was me, up and sold all my equipment on eBay and made the switch to TaylorMade. And let me tell you a little bit about why I did that. And at the time I had a TaylorMade putter in the bag that stayed, and I've kind of stayed true to that, minus the part where I actually sold that particular putter and just upgraded to a new TaylorMade putter. But I wanted to optimize both ends of my bag. I want to be a better putter, and I've always wanted to be a better driver. And so when considering, hey, how am I going to become a better driver of the golf ball? You look at the equipment manufacturing space and you say to yourself, who's known for drivers and fairway woods? It's TaylorMade. That's their game. It has been their game for a decade, probably more than a decade. Who knows? But they've led like the category of best driver in the game of golf for a long, long time. And so that's what drew me to them. I started with the M3, moved to the M5, now I've got the M6. Haven't tried the Sim yet. I got a couple of buddies that play the Sim and the Sim Max, but I have yet to kind of get that experience, and I'm okay with that. The M6 has got most of the technology, I've got twist face, got the inertia generator, it's speed injected, da-da-da-da-da-da, all those gimmicky words that you here to kind of promote technology and new stuff. But then you've got Titleist. They're kind of more the classic driver, and they've got a lot of adjustability as well. Cobra, I mean, you can't talk Cobra without thinking about Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, that dude, again, hits more bombs than anybody. And which, little known fact, since we're talking drivers and putters, maybe you guys know this, maybe you don't, I just learned it over the past weekend, but Bryson DeChambeau's driver has less loft than his putter, which blows my mind. I mean, the dude's a mad scientist for sure. I mean, he's always had that reputation, but Bryson's got 6 degrees of loft on his putter, and he's got 5.5 degrees of loft on his driver. And to me, that just blows my mind. I'm like, that's crazy. My putter's always had that 3 to 3.5 degrees of loft, but the dude's got 6 degrees of loft on his putter. I'm not really sure why. I'd kind of like to learn more about that. But he, again, 5.5 degrees of loft on his driver. Bryson's going to a 48-inch shaft. He's doing a lot of tinkering and just kind of, I mean, again, trying to take distance to another level. The dude, if you guys watched the tournament this past weekend, the dude drove, I think it was like the par 4 7th or 6th or something like that out in Vegas. 380-yard par 4. He drove the green two of the 4 days. Just stupid. Just nonsense. And is it good for the game? I don't know. We're not here to debate and kind of engage in the distance debate that is out there today. I'm kind of more a traditionalist. I think the 320 to 330 is a really impressive number as far as driving distance goes. So the guys that kind of hover in that range, but again, Vegas is, it's hot, it's dry. The ball flies different out there out in the West. And so 380 isn't necessarily 380, but I was watching on Sunday, I think it was, and I forget who it was, but their driving distance for the week was like 311 or something like that. And they were ranked 40th in the field in driving distance for the event. And I'm like, come on. I mean, 70 guys make the cut, and you're driving the ball on average 311 yards, and you're only 40th? That's insane. That blows my mind. But again, back to kind of dialing it back again, distance isn't my goal, accuracy is. So I'm on the search to find more accuracy. And for me, the M6 has been able to do that, but I've never tried other drivers. I'm kind of one of those goofballs that's kind of an equipment loyalist. And I've never had a mixed bag. If back in high school when I played Titleist, it was Titleist from top to bottom. And then I switched to Nike, and it was Nike top to bottom with the exception of the putter. I did keep a Scotty Cameron putter in the bag for a long, long time. I did try a Nike putter, but never really fell in love with any of those. And now that I'm on kind of the TaylorMade bandwagon, it's TaylorMade top to bottom. But I've got buddies that play Cobra. I've got buddies that play Ping. I've got buddies that play Callaway. And so, I mean, the options are out there. And so I guess kind of long podcast short, I mean, if you're on the search to improve your driving, take the opportunity this winter. There's too much out there, whether it's simulator technology, launch monitor technology. Go out, get fitted, because I think 2021 is going to be a big year, not just for me, but hopefully for you guys too. And part of that is getting your data, getting your analytics. And again, there's just too much opportunity to really, truly optimize the clubs that you have in your bag to not do it, because whether it's your weeknight league or scrambles with your employer, your coworkers, whatever it might be, or just kind of getting out and trying to beat your buddies up on the weekend. Like, if you at least don't know kind of the data and have an understanding of what's affecting what and kind of what the influencing variables are with driver technology and your equipment, you're giving up strokes. I truly do believe that. And so I am going to get on a launch monitor. I haven't scheduled the appointment just yet because no reason in particular, just haven't done it yet. But I do truly intend on doing it this winter, because I want to go into 2021 knowing that, hey, the driver that's in my bag has the right specs and the right setup for me. I want to know the irons in my bag are the right specs and the right setup for me. And we'll talk about that on a future podcast, irons and wedges and stuff like that. But I'm one of those guys. Thankfully, I've had the privilege of working with a PGA professional for the last few years on my swing and with my equipment. So he's got all the tools that I've needed. He's got the Loft and Lie machine. So I've got a notebook here where I have everything written down. Every club in the bag. I know what the lie angle is. I know what the loft is. I know what the swing weight is. All that stuff. And then my shafts, I know the lengths. I know the flexes. I know the balance points. All that information, because if you're going to improve your game, you can't just kind of throw darts at a board and just kind of see what happens. If you're going to improve your game and truly go about it in maybe not the mad scientist way, but at least a strategic way, you kind of got to know your baselines. You got to know where you're at with the equipment that feels good for you and performs. Like, what's your favorite club in the bag? 7-iron, 6-iron, whatever it may be. Get the specs. I mean, get your specs, get your lies, get your loft, get your length, and just kind of go from there. You can expand. But again, it's all using that data and using those analytics as a tool and as a resource to improve your game. And so I know we kind of segued away from the driver a little bit, but I'm confident with what I got in the bag. I'm actually sitting at a driving range right now. We're going to go hit some balls and just kind of keep working on it. But the fundamentals are strong, obviously. But if you can take, regardless of what your swing looks like, there's a lot of opportunity to get the right driver in your hands, you're going to see immediate improvement. So again, maybe you don't have to go out and, again, depending on what's in your bag, maybe you don't have to go out and get a new driver. Maybe you're using something that's a few years old. Like, I've got some buddies that use some old Titleist drivers. I've got buddies that use old Callaway drivers. I mean, shoot, Paul's Epic is probably like 4 years old now. But if you've got something that works, use it. Maximize it, optimize it, whatever you can do. And I promise you, if you hit the ball better off the tee, whether that means more fairways, don't chase distance. A few extra yards helps, but trust me when I tell you that dispersion over distance is just hugely important. But so much room to improve, and we're all on that journey. We're all looking to kind of explore new opportunities to better our games and just beat our buddies more often. Because I don't know about you guys, but I got a couple of buddies that I'm really sick of losing to. And part of the reason I lose to them is because I hit balls out of bounds off the tee. And my hashtag goal for 2021 is, it's a stupid goal, not to hit any balls out of bounds. If I can, it's kind of a dumb goal, but I mean, it's almost unrealistic because the golf season's long. You're going to play countless different courses. But if you can limit the number of penalty strokes you take due to poor tee shots, I know I can improve my game, and hopefully you guys can improve yours. So hopefully this podcast gave you a little bit of insight kind of on at least what I do and kind of how I go about trying to optimize my equipment. Hopefully you guys get the opportunity to get out there and try and dial yours in as well. But if you want to talk more about it, shoot, hit me up on Instagram, as always, at gsmithgolf. I love exchanging messages with you guys, and if you guys want to talk equipment, I love talking equipment. I mean, I'm trying to keep these podcasts a little tighter than usual, so right around that 30-minute-ish mark, a little more digestible, but always down to exchange messages, talk. If you got tips, if you are a good driver of the golf ball, shoot, tell me what you're doing, because again, I'm searching. I'm trying to improve myself. So if driving is your strong suit and you don't mind sharing some of your little tidbits and wisdom, I'm all for it. But thanks again for tuning into the Michigan Golf Podcast. As always, guys, we'll be back with you guys later this week or weekend. I've got some cool stuff coming up in the works. We're going to kind of see how it plays out. But again, we'll keep you guys posted, and we'll get back on and talk more golf soon. Thanks again, guys.